I now declare you husband and husband.
Those are just the words President George W. Bush does not want to hear. He is calling for legislation to create a constitutional ban against same-sex marriage.
An amendment to the Constitution is necessary because activist courts have left our nation with no other choice.
As the Senate debates the issue, Bush is making an election year pitch to conservatives whose enthusiasm for him has cooled. But is this enough to win back his base? Joe Glover is the president of the Family Policy Network.
You know, I'm not sure, because conservatives watched and were frustrated that he campaigned for 2 solid months all over the country for the prescription drug entitlement, something they didn't even support. And when it comes to the issue of marriage, which is far more important to social conservatives, the president gives a solid weekend to drumming up support for it. We don't have the votes to pass in the Senate. Our real target should be those senators that ought to be supporting this who aren't. But the fact is that when a president or a congressman or a senator campaigns on marriage, like the president did, the doggone it, they should come out and support the thing a couple of months in advance and drum up support on the issue of marriage, which is so important to social conservatives, like they have on other issues that we may not even support at all.
Analysts say the proposed amendment against gay marriage has little chance of passing. However, just over half of all Americans oppose same-sex marriage, according to a poll released by the Pew Research Center in March.
There's nothing wrong with the love between two women or two men. There's nothing wrong with that.
Gay marriage has increasingly been a divisive issue since a Massachusetts court ruled in 2003 that the state legislature could not ban it, paving the way for America's first same-sex marriages the following year. Bush spoke out in favor of a ban on gay marriage during the 2004 presidential election race when the issue's appearance on local ballots helped turn out Republican supporters in key states. Some conservatives question the timing of the push. George Landreth is the president of the Frontiers of Freedom Institute.
It doesn't strike me as an ideal time to hit hot-button issues to help an election. My experience tells me in elections that after Labor Day is the time to kind of start really pumping the political issues, because that's when people are paying attention.
Bush is raising his profile on the issue as he grapples with approval ratings near 30%, a low for his presidency. Bush could once count on overwhelming conservative support, but the Iraq War and several political blunders have cost him some of that backing, leaving many Republicans fearful of losing control of Congress to Democrats in November. More than a dozen states in the country have offered amendments to ban gay marriages. Civil unions are legal in 2 states. And the last time the federal government tried to weigh in on this issue, in 2004, that effort failed. In Washington, I'm Deborah Luderbeck for Reuters.
The kidnappers pulled up in at least 13 vehicles with Iraqi police markings. They were wearing the uniforms of Iraqi police commandos. They spent an hour collecting captives from several transportation companies on this busy Baghdad street. They rounded up at least 50 people, some on a bus about to head for Syria or Jordan.
They were with bank guards and driving police vehicles. They kidnapped 15 Syrians, they killed people there, and they killed another old man in that shop. They abducted the owner of the company and his son. They told me to come with them, but I ran away.
An official with the Prime Minister's office said no official police operation was underway at the time. It isn't clear why Iraqi police failed to spot the raid. A Baghdad court meantime sentenced an Iraqi man to life in prison for the kidnapped murder of Margaret Hassan 2 years ago. 2 other defendants were freed. Susan Flory, Reuters.
The Iraqi premier's announcement came as a surprise. Many in prison are from Saddam Hussein's once dominant Sunni community. Maliki told journalists the release will free those with no clear evidence against them, or those who have been mistakenly detained. But the strains in his government are widening. Rivals in the Shiite Alliance Party, which dominates his government, are blocking his nominations for key interior and defense ministry posts. And the violence continues unabated outside the walls of power. There's been a second gruesome discovery of severed heads in Bakaba, north of Baghdad. 9 severed heads found in cardboard boxes. Elsewhere, mortar attacks claimed at least one life in Dora, Baghdad's southern district. Reports from the same area talk of 11 students dying when gunmen stopped the bus they were traveling in. David Pollard, Reuters.
An Israeli missile strike killed one Palestinian militant and wounded four others in northern Gaza, according to witnesses. The Israeli army confirmed the attack, saying they launched three missiles at a car carrying a man who had fired makeshift rockets at Israel. And in the southern town of Khan Yunis, several attacks erupted. Witnesses described a battle between gunmen and Fatah loyal security officers. At least three people were injured there. In another factional clash, residents of the town set a car on fire. Witnesses say Hamas gunmen fired at Fatah loyalists from the car and fled. And local journalists held a sit-in after Palestinian TV was raided by dozens of Hamas gunmen and members of a backup interior minister force. The attackers, who shot holes into walls and destroyed equipment, said the television station held a pro-Fatah slant. These attacks happened following clashes in Gaza that killed five people. Katie Jewell, Reuters.
It became apparent after this meeting with Palestinian factions late on Monday that Abbas felt he had no options left to him. Supporters of the president said his last bid to negotiate with Hamas had failed and that a referendum date in July was likely. Hamas fiercely opposes the referendum proposal because, if carried, it would call for a Palestinian state on land previously occupied by Israel, whom Hamas refused to recognize. But Hamas spokesman would not speculate on whether it could stir up factional violence.
We will not say now what we might do if a referendum was to take place. We are saying that we hope a referendum does not take place.
Abbas was expected to announce the referendum date after a meeting with the executive committee of the PLO. David Pollard, Reuters.
Package delivered. The EU's foreign policy chief is in Tehran, personally telling Iran's top nuclear negotiator what sticks and carrots six world powers are proposing to defuse months of crisis over Iran's nuclear activities. On arrival, Javier Solana kept the lid on its contents, sticking to the plan of its architects that Iran consider it first.
The proposal that we carry, we think that will be proposals that will allow us to get engaged in that negotiation, as I said, based on trust, respect, and confidence.
Ahead of the meeting, Iran's foreign minister was sounding upbeat about the prospect of a diplomatic way to end the standoff.
If a political determination exists for resolving the issue, and if they don't have political aims for politicizing the case, I think we can reach a comprehensive agreement with them.
Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, says he'll consider the package, but he said time and again he won't relinquish Iran's sovereign right to use nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. Susan Flory, Reuters. pushing north a day after their victory against American-backed warlords in Mogadishu. Somalia's Islamic militia are taking more strategic ground outside the capital. Militia leader Syed Mohammed has told Reuters his forces are awaiting orders on whether to assault the warlord's stronghold of Johar. Gunmen loyal to the country's Sharia court seized Mogadishu after 3 months of heavy fighting, which left hundreds dead and thousands displaced. It was the first time the warlords had been chased out of the capital in 15 years. Many are on the run now, others said to be regrouping before trying to retake Mogadishu. The violence is widely seen as a proxy war between the U.S. and Islamic militants. Washington won't discuss reports it's covertly funding the warlords, but it has indirectly expressed alarm at their defeat. A State Department spokesman says, "We'll work with anyone fighting terrorism. We don't want Somalia to become a safe haven for foreign terrorists." Susan Flory, Reuters.
As the clear-up continues in Indonesia, fears of a bird flu epidemic are being exacerbated by the number of people choosing to shelter in chicken coops, according to aid agencies working in the area. Now, some are urging the authorities to provide people with alternative accommodation.
That way we can hopefully minimize infections and transmission of more bird flu, because it has been present in the area.
Medical centers were set up in devastated villages to treat victims of the earthquake. Tents were also distributed to help thousands of homeless people. Jacqueline Koch says she's more worried over the sanitation in hospitals.
What we're trying to do is figure out ways to help them to minimize the spread of germs and infection on the wards, provide perhaps more places for staff to wash their hands, provide more gloves, more latex gloves and things like that.
48 Indonesians have contracted bird flu. The country has the second highest death toll from the disease. Statistics that can't be helped by people living in close contact with dead or diseased birds. Stuart McDill, Reuters. Animal rights protesters, including children, stopped the export of 8 Asian elephants from Thailand to Australia. The blockade left the animals' convoy stuck inside a quarantine center for more than 20 hours. The activists allege several of the elephants were caught illegally and shouldn't be exported.
I have been wondering whether baby elephants were captured from the wild, so it has to be checked carefully before it is exported.
Australian zoo staff deny the allegations.
For many, many years, countries and zoos have been exchanging animals, and that has been beneficial to enable people to understand wildlife and to engage with wildlife and ultimately become people who care for wildlife.
Officials said the animals were scheduled to take part in a breeding program and help educate those visiting zoos on the plight of Asian elephants in the wild. More immediate plight is delaying that plan. Stuart McDill, Reuters. Reigning champions Brazil began their final preparations with some light training at their base outside Frankfurt. The session put paid to speculation that star striker Ronaldo was injured. Brazil's squad physician said blisters were the only problem and they'd been dealt with. The 5-time world champions do have options. The hosts found their preparations dominated by criticism of coach Jürgen Klinsmann for refusing to move back to Germany from his California home. They play Costa Rica in the opening game of the tournament, knowing Klinsmann's unlikely to be their manager for the next competition. In the England camp, there was good news as pivotal playmaker Wayne Rooney trained with his teammates despite breaking a toe just weeks ago. And it'll be Thursday before manager Sven-Göran Eriksson decides whether the 20-year-old is fit enough to stay and play.
I think he's happy to be here. Of course, if I had to tell him to leave, it's not a nice conversation I will have with him, but He's been very, very good. In good shape.
Around 300 England fans have travelled just to watch their team train. They'll be keeping their fingers crossed that their talisman's toe gets the thumbs up. Stuart McDill, Reuters.